ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। आत्मानं शोचति दीनम्, आत्मानं शोचति दीनम्, अबन्धुं विक्लवाश्रुभिः, अबन्धुं विक्लवाश्रुभिः, स्तनावासिच्य विपिने, स्तनावासिच्य विपिने, सुषोरं प्ररुरोदसा, सुषोरं प्ररुरोदसा। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, being now alone and a widow in that forest, the daughter of Vidarbha began to lament, incessantly shedding tears which soaked her breast and crying very loudly. Purport. Figuratively, the queen is supposed to be the disciple of the king. Thus, when the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, his disciples should cry exactly as the queen cries when the king leaves his body. However, the disciple and spiritual master are never separated because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called association of bani, the words. Physical presence is called bapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciples should serve the physical body of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashya Tadesha Tarini Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasya Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namanama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Today is also appearance day for Ramanujacharya, very auspicious day. So we'll discuss this verse as well as we'll revisit the Leela of Srila Ramanujacharya. And so this particular chapter, not only this chapter, is going on the instructions to Prachina Varishat, who was a very aristocratic person, a king, and wanted to enjoy his life in dignity, in opulence, in having big following. So that is the idea of Prachina Varishat's idea of living in this world. And according to his own ideology, he sent his own sons, Prachetas, to when he instructed them to procreate. And the Prachetas, they didn't know actually the purpose of life, so instead they left to the forest. On the way they met Lord Shiva and Prachaitas were instructed by Lord Shiva in the science of Krishna consciousness, and there they perform severe austerities. In the meantime, Narada comes back and teaches Prachina Varishat. And this is the allegory in the shape of Puranjana, how Puranjana is actually representing the Jiva. Puranjana is one of us, how we are actually living in this world, and how we want to be happy in this world, and how finally, you know, everything becomes illusory. So through allegory, Narada is teaching Prachina Varishat, and this is one of those verses where Puranjana has become woman in his next life, and here she is lamenting because she has lost her husband, and very piteously she is crying because she is feeling very helpless. So this is the Prabhupada in the Purport is giving, or he is taking the positive aspect of this crying and telling us that how we should also cry when we miss our spiritual master. A spiritual master, when he is teaching us in his physical presence, so we have the opportunity to serve him physically, we have the opportunity to be chastised by him, we have the opportunity to be corrected by him, and when he is no more there with us, then we get we have to take his instructions and conduct our life according to that instruction. So this is what in the purport Srila Prabhupada says. Actually the acharyas, the paramahamsas, they, when they spread Krishna's message all over the world, they are invested with a Krishna Sakti. Kali Kalera Dharma Harinama Sankirtana Krishna Sakti Bina Nay Tara Pravartan. So it is Krishna Sakti that empowers the acharyas to preach in a situation where we cannot normally think of that we will be able to preach. It's very easy to sit in a place in your home, in a temple, and do bhajan. But going outside and meeting people from different kind of ideologies, different kind of cultures, cultural backgrounds, different kind of faiths, professions, meeting them and preaching them is not very easy. So Krishna Sakti, the acharyas, they derive their authority from the internal potency of Krishna. When one has opulence, one has a status in the society, one may be able to preach for some time to some category of people, but not the kind of preaching that acharyas can do, like Srila Prabhupada did by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Or for that matter, Ramanuja Acharya, the way he preached all over the India, those time in 1000th century, when the Saivites and Vaishnavites used to fight with lot of revenge, lot of bad blood among them. So in that scenario, to preach Krishna consciousness is very, very difficult. And acharyas, they preach because they are invested with the potency of Krishna. They are so empowered, they preach. In fact, I had one very astonishing experience when I went to Bits Palani after I got trained in IIT Delhi. to preach Bits Palani. I accepted a position in Bits Palani. I went there. So there I met one couple. The person was actually earlier the PA to director, and his son and his daughter-in-law, they are also working in the same university. And so in the course of, they were very helpful to me, and they treated me as their son. So one day, you know, while, you know, I was preaching, so he and his wife came and they were counting the number of chapels that are there in outside my house, and they were astounded that how so many wives have come. And after the program was over, he came and said, "I'll tell you something about Prabhupada." So I was a little, you know, skeptical, because I said, "No, you know, we are preaching about, you know, we are following Prabhupada, and how this person is going to teach me about Prabhupada?" So he then he brought out his diary and showed to me that this person, he started preaching. Like, he gave one example of Marman, the founder Acharya of Mormons, and said he preached, I think, 1800 something, and within 10 years he was killed brutally. So he took so many names and said that this person was killed this way, this person was killed this way, while preaching. And then he said, "You see this Prabhupada, he preached all over the world, everywhere, where people even won't venture, from African nations to Americans, Europeans, everywhere he went and he preached." And he said that he must be a divine person, and he was properly taken care of by the Lord. So it is a fact that those who are empowered, like Prabhupada, they derive their Shakti from the internal potency of Krishna. And they remain under the protection of Krishna's internal potency, because they are doing the best welfare activity. Best welfare activity they are performing, because they are going to the place where you cannot even go and preach. Very difficult. So unless Krishna protects and takes care of you, it is not very easy. We have seen how when Krishna personally present here, the demons, they come and attack him. And here his representative, they come and they even take bigger risk to preach the message of Krishna. Truth is always very bitter, not very easily digestible. So when you take the message of truth and tell people, it will be very bitter. So they will not be able to digest. So they will react. And hence, we must have the strength to digest those reactions. So this is why those who are actually empowered to preach, they are invested with Krishna Shakti. And without that Krishna Shakti, we cannot actually be effective in preaching. So yesterday we were reading in the 11th canto in IIT Kanpur, where Krishna, while instructing Uddhava, you know that Uddhava has already seen how Yadus were killed, and everybody has been killed actually, the entire Yadu dynasty has been finished, and Uddhava and Krishna are the only survivor. And obviously, you know, when Uddhava remembers those ghastly sins, it's very difficult. Even if he has taken complete shelter of Krishna. So he is asking this question, O Krishna, this relationship that we have within this material world, you know, it's very difficult to give up. Because he is going through that trauma of losing all his near and dear ones. And in a very, you know, it's unthinkable way, the way the Yadu dynasty was completely vanquished in Prabhasa. And the natural question is saying, please help me. How can I come out of this attachment that I had for my near and dear ones? Please teach me. So Krishna, while answering this question, he narrates a discussion between an avadhuta and Yadu Maharaj. Yadu Maharaj is the eldest son of Yayati. And you know that, you know, what happened there, how Yayati was cursed, and finally he has to exchange his invalidity with his youngest son because he wanted to enjoy this world. Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaunitai ki Jai. So he has gone through, so obviously when Yati, after enjoying his senses, when he gets this realization that all this enjoyment that is of flickering nature, and then he happily again gives his youth to his youngest son and makes his son as the emperor. Obviously this is a shock for Yadu, and Yadu has already started becoming, you know, spiritually more inquisitive. So this avadhuta, what is avadhuta? Avadhuta is a person. See, we are jivas, each one of us, we are jivas. Naturally jiva has it can remain you know, in conscious of matter, or it can remain in conscious of Krishna. So when it remains in conscious of Krishna, naturally, that is called the internal consciousness. It is self-situated, it is internally conscious. And whereas a person who is constantly, because we are all for, we don't know, trillions of jillions of years, or trillions of jillions of birth, we are in externally conscious. We are conscious of our body, and we have taken so many bodies. Millions of bodies we have taken. So this is a natural ontology of jiva, that it can be externally conscious, it can be internally conscious. So the way it exercises its free will, if it exercises free will to remain away from Krishna, it remains. It is given opportunity, it is given facilities by which it will remain externally conscious. That means in that consciousness, just like, you know, sometime you know, when I started my spiritual journey, always I thought, what is that inseparable from me? This is what, you know, always kind of nagged me. Because when I was a student in my BTech, I was kind of a political person, in the sense that already all 256 students were known to me. I personally made memoirs for every individual student. So when everybody left and I felt very alone, I said, what is this? I thought we are all so close, we will be remaining together. And suddenly I find myself very lonely, just like here. the lady is suffering because of her because of her missing her very dear husband. Similarly also I was going through, and I was constantly thinking, what is that? That will be inseparable from me. It's a natural, you know, when we are in this world, this particular question will come to us. What is that? I will never, you know, I cannot lose that. What is that I must have, which I cannot lose? So this is a kind of a paradox. So in Jiva, when he is an externally conscious, you know, he or she can experience many things in this world, but he or she will have these experiences where, you know, he will be always have that fear of missing or losing things. This is the part, you know, when you want to be externally conscious, with that will come this other baggage of fear of losing your wealth, losing your following, losing your intellect, even intellect. You know, when we become old, you will see we lose our memory. Sometimes even we will not be able to remember what is the first sentence, first part of the sentence I spoke when I'm speaking the latter part. The old age is so dangerous. Sometimes it will, you will not be able to remember your near and dear ones who are already dead, have already gone from this physical world. You will not be able to remember them. So many things we will lose. That is why Kulasekhara, King Kulasekhara's praise, Krishna todiya pada pankaja panjarantam adaiva vishatu me manasa radhamsam prana prayana samaye kapavatta pitau kanthavarodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. Please take me now. I'm very young. You have given me enough energy now to remember you. My consciousness is well posed. I'm healthy in my consciousness. Kindly take me. Don't keep me. When I have to go through that suffering of old age. Old age is a big suffering. Only those who are extraordinarily prepared to face the old age can face. Majority of us, we will not be able to face our old age. It's a very tough situation. So this external consciousness and internal consciousness, those who are internally conscious, they directly see Krishna face to face. So this is the nature of Jiva. Either he is conscious spiritually. So that is a pure state of Jiva. Pure state of Jiva is that he is naturally Krishna conscious. He is naturally servant of Krishna. That is a pure state. And the impure state is he thinks all manifestations of Maya to be his own. And so our acharyas, they teach us how we must purify our consciousness in such a way that we come from external conscious to internal consciousness. So in this, so when a person suddenly enters into internal consciousness, even if he is in this world, he is not in this world. So he will behave absolutely in a mad manner, just like Lord Chaitanya behaved last 12 years in Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, he lived 18 years, 6 years in South India trip, 24 years is his Nadia Lila. So this 12 years in Jagannath Puri, he actually behaved like an avadhuta. He was not a person living this world. He was not conscious of this world. So avadhuta, that means suddenly, you know, when I see something in this world, when I'm not able to relate anything to this world, so I will behave like a madman. This is avadhuta. And Yadu Maharaj happened to meet such an avadhuta. And because he met, and Yadu Maharaj is going through his own purificatory processes, because, you know, it is not very easy. You are an eldest son, but your youngest brother is the emperor, and you are his subject. Very difficult to, it's a bitter pill to digest. So obviously, this is a nice bitter pill for him to go through that kind of spiritual emancipation. He is able to recognize this avadhuta. When he met him, he immediately offered him obeisance and said, "My dear sir, although you appear to be a madman, but I can see you are actually self-realized." So he asked this question, the same question that Uddhava asked Krishna. So Krishna narrates that discussion. I will not go in deep in the discussion. All that discussion is, the avadhuta says, "I have 24 gurus in this world. And each guru teaches me how not to dwell in this world, how not to contemplate on this world." Like he gives the example of Mruga, the deer. The deer is very much attracted to music. So hunter plays on the flute, deer comes out from the hiding. And then gets the hunter's arrow, becomes the victim of the hunter's arrow. So like that, Meena, the fish, right, is very much attracted to the test bird. Even if other fishes are seeing that one has already gone up, still, when the fish catcher puts another food resource into the water, the fish becomes again a victim. So like that, so many 24 gurus, he gives example and he says that by looking at them, I conduct myself in such a way that I don't have to contemplate on any aspect of this world. So basically, the teaching is that just looking at this world, looking at birth, old age, disease, looking at varieties of, you know, he gives also example of elephant, he gives the example of the pingala, he gives the example of unmarried girl, you know, so many examples he gives, and he says that, you know, when I look at all these examples, I know this world is full of troubles. Don't tell me that there is any juice in this world. There is no happiness. So that's why I remain self-situated. So after narrating this incident, Krishna tells Uddhava, "O Uddhava, cultivation of knowledge is necessary. Cultivation of knowledge is necessary. Not to dwell on this material world. By cultivation of knowledge, we must go to our inner consciousness." So there Krishna gives a very wonderful example. He says, as you get the instructions, because Krishna says, you know, Arani means, this is the wood that is used in the sacrificial arena. This wood, Krishna divides into three parts, the beginning, middle and the end. Okay, so you must have seen that, you know, people, those who do the sacrifice, they put the wood in the ghee and then burn and put in the sacrificial arena. So he says that, you know, the top part is the disciple. and the bottom part is the guru, and the middle part is the instruction. So the, by the virtue of the instruction of the guru, okay, the disciple is kindled, he is awakened. And as he getting awakened, his material consciousness is getting burnt. Is getting burnt in that sacrificial fire. And in the process, both spiritual master and the disciples, they attain spiritual bliss. Right? So Krishna says that when we take this instruction of the spiritual master and imbibe those instructions unto our daily activities, so then he gives a very nice anecdote there. He says that this knowledge in the beginning, you know, appears knowledge to us, but as we enter deep into this, our inner consciousness, this knowledge diminishes. It's very interesting. And you can't get help of this knowledge. That means the knowledge of this world is of no use to us for us to remain in Krishna conscious. To remain in Krishna conscious, we directly need mercy. Mercy of Krishna, mercy of spiritual master. We need to derive our strength from the internal potency of Krishna. Because when we talk about knowledge, normally we can only describe the world of our experience, which is this physical world. And all that we can talk about this physical world, like this 24 gurus, is that how not to be contaminated by this world. And as you get elevated further and further, and you don't see anything of this world of any use to you, then any knowledge about this world is of no use to you. And hence, you need to depend on Krishna. And that's what Krishna says. Tesam evanukam partham aham ajnanadam tamaha nasayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvataha. Krishna is saying that. So then we must be fully surrendered to Krishna. We must be fully surrendered to Krishna to get his mercy. And Krishna says that tesam evanukam partham, those who are constantly, they are constantly dwelling in the thought of Krishna, they are constantly narrating the pastimes of Krishna, they are constantly spreading the message of Krishna, so then Krishna says, He comes within our heart. Nasayami Atma Bhavasto. Krishna accepts us. At that time Krishna accepts us. Because we are following the instructions of the spiritual master very strictly. Because the instructions of spiritual master is my life and soul. I am following that. And then Krishna is accepting. And because Krishna is accepting us as one of his, then nasoyami. He destroys any vestige of ignorance within us. Jnana deepena bhasuta. Then whatever knowledge comes, that is transcendental knowledge. That is transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is something that cannot be described. It is simply an experience within. Some symptoms only we can talk about, but the knowledge itself, like, you know, if I say let me not dwell in details, but the idea is that the transcendental knowledge is something that that comes by the grace of Krishna. Now the idea is that how do we in this age of Kali, who are so easily contaminated because of the vicious nature of this Kali, everywhere, at every aspect of life, at every aspect of our societal structure, the sinful tendencies are all pervading. Because that's how Kali Purusha actually came. Because Kali Purusha is reigning and his job is to spread vice as much as possible. And that's what he is doing. That is his job. So it's very difficult. So that is why our acharyas and particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we cannot actually follow as much the path that Avadhuta taught to Yadu Maharaj. Rather, the best way to come to our internal consciousness is to see everything around us connected to Krishna. So we must learn how everything to be connected to Krishna. That means, I am naturally externally conscious. I have very little strength to come back to my original consciousness by this path of not dwelling or not contemplating on this external world. But then, it's very difficult for this age of Kali. So that is why everything that is given to us is that we should live in such a way everything around us we can connect that to Krishna. So then my external consciousness, although I am externally conscious, still I am Krishna conscious because everything is connected to Krishna. Because everything is connected to Krishna, so that just I will give you an example. 2-3 days before, my three kids were telling me, tell me a story. So suddenly it occurred to me that I will, act in some way and I will ask them, you explain to me what Leela of Krishna this is. This is around 9:30 or so in the night and they have not still gone to bed. And then I acted, Parasurama, how he is killing the Kshatriyas, or, Kurma, how his back is itching. So, everybody started speaking, okay, these are the things. And, surprisingly, even I didn't know, in the night time, and I just did for my kids, and, in the night time when I went to bed and I slept, and in the dream I am seeing that we are observing Janmashtami, and we are actually looking for a place because we found that the people, those who have come for Janmashtami celebration, is more than 10,000 people. And our place where we are observing, it is not even meant for that. So I am ordering everybody, please shut down all the gates, don't allow anybody, otherwise there will be stampede. So this is the beauty. You can actually, whatever we see, we can actually experience that in our life. That if we make our external consciousness connected to Krishna, then we can perpetuate that consciousness. And by that process, our soul, which is very dormant, because for billions and billions of lifetime, we have been externally conscious. So the soul is in a seed form. And it needs a lot of watering. So this remaining, making our external consciousness to be completely Krishna conscious, automatically my soul, which is in seed form, gets opportunity to be nourished. And it flourishes. Right? Oh, I forgot, I have to tell. Sorry. So this is, so this is the method that how we can bring back us because we are naturally conditioned to be externally conscious. We don't have that strength to go inward and be situated in self. So by making our external conscious Krishna conscious, that means everything connected to Krishna. And that is what Prabhupada gave us. He gave us temple. You come and see the transcendental beauty of the deities, associate with the devotees, render service in the association of devotees. You go out, then bring people into Krishna consciousness. So there is all methods that are given by which we can make our external world connected to Krishna all the time. And this is how, and this is why our acharyas, they come from time to time. And one of such acharyas is Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, I'll not take much time, 5 to 10 minutes maximum. He is the acharya who revived Sri Sampradaya in a very bigger platform. Just like, you know, the Gaudiya Sampradaya has started from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it was very much empowered. The potency of this movement was magnified by Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, Ramanujacharya, you know, spread the potency of Sri Sampradaya by his vigorous preaching. He actually appeared in, you know, 11th century. It says 1017 AD he appeared. And at very early age he lost his father, but he was very much determined to pursue Vedic studies. Like, you know, nowadays anybody who is a little bright, he wants to go to university to pursue education. And those days, who are little bright, they always wanted to study Vedic literature. And his teacher was Yadava Prakash, was an Advaitin, is an impersonalist. And not only he is an impersonalist, he was an offender to Krishna. He will make fun of Vishnu. And obviously, Ramanujacharya, that time he was simply Ramanuja, and Ramanujacharya would give proper explanation of every verse. He will mock at, and his explanations were liked by his friends, peers. So when Yadav Prakash saw that Ramanuja is more popular than him among his students, so he became very envious. He sent Ramanujacharya to Varanasi and made a plan to kill him. And there his associate Govinda, you know, who finally will become his servant, will take care of him. So Govinda will reveal what this Yadav Prakash wants. And, you know, there in this jungle, dense jungle, they will be helped by a hunter and his wife. And that's how Ramanujacharya survives from this threat to his life. And during this time, Sri Sampradaya was headed by Yamunacharya. That's another big story, how Yamunacharya was, because he was actually a king. He was actually enjoying 50% of king's kingdom. So he was living like a king. And how his uncle will actually, you know, pull him out of this kingly, you know, worldly life and make him do bhajan in Tirupati. So Yamunacharya was the head of the Srirangam Math that time. And Yamunacharya has noticed Ramanuja and he has recognized this is the person who is going to lead the Sri Sampradaya after me. And he was waiting when he will meet him. And he has already told his disciples, this Ramanujacharya is the right person to lead us, to lead our movement. And that time, Yamunacharya had a disciple, his name is Kanchipurna. Kanchipuna was born in a very low class, not low class family, the so-called in a lower caste family. But Ramanujacharya was very much influenced by his bhakti for Krishna. So, one day, he wanted to invite him for a dinner, and he wanted to take his remnant. After he feeds him, whatever is left, he wanted to take that, because for a disciple, there cannot be a better opportunity to partake in the remnants of the spiritual master. But it so happened that he has invited, Kanchipurna has come, his wife served him, and after serving him, the Kanchipurnam has left, and his wife thought he is a lower caste. Then he cleaned that place again with the cow dung. Then he took bath, she took bath, and she was ready to again prepare meal for her husband. And due to some reason, Ramanujacharya was delayed, and when he came, he was devastated, absolutely. And his wife's act was not very palatable for him. And like that, you know, there are many incidents where, you know, Ramanujacharya was not being reciprocated properly by his wife. So on a plea, he sent his wife to her father's place, parents' place, and Ramanujacharya took sannyas. And as soon as Ramanujacharya took sannyas, Yamunacharya was looking that he will come to Srirangam and he will anoint him as the Acharya of Sri Sampradaya. So by the time Ramanujacharya reached Srirangam, Yamunacharya has left his left for the spiritual kingdom. But he has left three wishes that need to be fulfilled by Ramanujacharya. So at the final ceremony, that is the funeral ceremony for his spiritual master Yamunacharya, Ramanujacharya took a vow that he will fulfill these three wishes. One of them is to write Sri Bhashya for Vedanta Sutra. Second wish was, of course, to popularize Vishnu Purana and to popularize Parasara Muni, the author of Vishnu Purana. Just like for us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us Bhagavata Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, Sri Vaishnavas are given Vishnu Purana to meditate. And so like that, so by the age of 70, Ramanujacharya had already 700 sannyasi disciples. Literally all mats in Sri, in South India, Vishnu mats, all taken up by Sri Vaishnavas. Tirupati, Madurai Alagaya temple, Srirangam temple, of course he became the Acharya for Srirangam temple. So all those temples, Ramanujacharya established proper archana method for worship of Vishnu. And then, when he was above 70 years old, that time there was a king, his name was... anybody who remembers the king? Chola king is Kulathunga. Kolathunga. So Kolathunga, he was a Saivite. And he didn't like Ramanujacharya's preaching. As I told you, preachers are always have Krishna Shakti. Otherwise one cannot preach. And Ramanujacharya has preached You know also Ramanujacharya came to Jagannath Puri. He wanted to change the worship method of Jagannath Puri. Although Jagannath didn't allow, but he showed him special mercy, you know. Ramanujacharya also went to Nadia. He met Lord Chaitanya. He preached and he was so famous everywhere. So this king was very jealous of him. He was very envious. And he sent his messenger invite him. So obviously everybody knew that this king is very cruel. His two disciples, one is Kuresha, another is Mahapurna. Mahapurna was actually very old. And they put on the sannyasa dress and they went to the kingdom of this Chola king. And there they will defeat the Saivite concept and they will establish that how Vishnu is supreme. But the idea is that the king has already a plan, so he will take out the eyes of both of them, and then on the way Mahapurna will leave his body and Kuresha will finally come. By that time Ramanujacharya has already left Srirangam because there is always a threat to his life. So he has come to the place. Now you might have heard about Melkote. Melkote is I think 50-60 kilometers from Bangalore, Melkote. So there he will preach to tribal people there and he will convert them to Sri Vaishnavas. So this is the nature of an Acharya. Acharya is so empowered, wherever he goes, he extends the family of Krishna. So in that sense, Ramanujacharya, his footprint on this earth has a much bigger lifespan because they are empowered by Krishna. One of the things that Ramanujacharya will be known for in intellectual circle is for his Sri Bhashya. His philosophy was Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta Advaita means the Brahman has attributes. Brahman has personal feature. Brahman has transcendental attribute. So that brings out the notion that Krishna is personal, Vishnu is personal. Krishna is a person. God is a person. We can talk a lot about Ramanujacharya. Sorry, I actually forgot while discussing. We should have gone a little more about... There are so many wonderful pastimes of Ramanujacharya which you could have rejoiced today. But at least we can always meditate that how such... these are the proof. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is existing. Ramanujacharya is existing, Madhvacharya are existing. And these are faith for us. Srila Prabhupada is existing. These are the faith by which we must conduct our life. We must derive our faith from their life. Okay? So, this is our biggest proof. We should not think any other, we should not go to any other proof. The way Ramanujacharya inundated the entire Indian subcontinent into Vaishnavism. Srila Prabhupada inundated entire world in the holy name. So this holy name also, another thing is when Ramanujacharya went for initiation, his guru won't allow him to be initiated. He made him to travel from Srirangam to Madurai 17 or 18 times. Because he was afraid that whether Ramanujacharya will follow whatever he would say. The problem was that finally when he accepted Ramanujacharya, he said that, "I am giving you this mantra, but you should not reveal." The mantra was Om Namo Narayana. As soon as he got this mantra, he actually got into the top, tallest roof and called everybody and shouted, "Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana," and made everybody to chant. Right? And then his guru was very angry with him. And he said, what is this? Just now you promised to me that you will keep it confidential, and you are openly telling, and you are making this mantra is so potent, you are making it so cheap. And then he comes with folded hand and falls prostrated at the lotus feet of his guru and says, my dear sir, please, please curse me, give me as much punishment as possible, but allow all these innocent persons to be liberated by chanting Om Namo Narayana. So this is how the acharyas are very munificent. The acharyas are very compassionate. The only thing why acharyas to come to this world is to deliver the fallen souls like us. Otherwise, who will have no faith in Krishna or Vishnu? Thank you very much. Srila Ramanuja Acharya ki, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Samsundar, Sri Sri Gaurnitai ki, Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari. His question is that last 1 hour, whatever you are discussing is transcendental knowledge. But you are saying transcendental knowledge cannot be described. That's his question. Yes, transcendental knowledge cannot be described. Right? What we are discussing is to bring us to that platform. Okay? See, even if I say Krishna is God, right? I cannot explain Krishna. I cannot explain my relationship with Krishna. Okay? It is not. It is my personal relationship. Okay? The happiness that I derive by being Krishna consciousness, I can release. But I cannot make you release that. All that I can tell you, you practice. You need to release it. The rasa that you will derive from Krishna. Right? You imagine, you know, like last time I was telling, Draupadi loses her 5 sons after Mahabharata has already finished. Right? Did you see any time Draupadi even complained to Krishna, Krishna, you killed my 5 sons brutally? Krishna does everything. Right? Because the relationship a devotee has established with Krishna is so transcendental, so sweet, that cannot be described. This is so unique. It's my own relationship. It's me. It's so divine. Okay? So, you read that 11th canto, Krishna says, this whatever I am speaking, this I will be finished. Once I know, I am in that original state, I will stop speaking. Lord Chaitanya didn't speak anything. He exhibited that 12 years. He didn't speak anything. He could not even chant Krishna's name. Okay? He was completely external, internally situated. Okay? Nothing of this world will be pleasurable to you. Right? Because, and that is the state we are looking for. And that is our original state. We need to understand. When you are in that state, you know, you are like an avadhuta. You will not be able to relate anything of this world. Okay? That is why it says, a Mahabhagavata, if he wants to preach, he cannot remain Mahabhagavata. He has to come to this world. He must again enter into this world. So he has to become again Madhyama Adhikari. He has to discriminate between spirit and matter, and he has to preach. A Mahabhagavata cannot preach in his pure state. It cannot. He, out of genuine compassion, he gives up his position and comes and he preaches. Okay. I think it is very late. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol.